The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, welcome from a cold, wet and very wintry Jerusalem. 11 degrees, that's where I am at the moment. Happy Thanksgiving to those who care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, Mazel Tov to Chai FM. 12 years tomorrow.
12 years tomorrow.
They're right, Bat Mitzvah. So I'm jumping in ahead of time because I'm not on the air tomorrow. But I think that the team at Chai FM have done a fantastic job over an extended period of time. I've been very, very lucky to be associated with the station also for more than 10 years. And such a loyal listenership. What can we say about them?
Mm. I don't know. If you look at my SMS line, loyalty is not something that would have jumped to mind. Honest, I would say. Forthright, definitely. Opinionated without question. I don't know. But no, you're absolutely right. And I didn't realize that you had been involved for 10 years. That's incredible.
It ages me a little bit, but it's been an interesting ride. With everything that's been happening in Israel, obviously, and being in a nice dialogue with the listeners, because it is a dialogue, even though it feels like a one-way street when we're talking and people are not talking back to us directly. But it is a dialogue because I get a lot of good feedback, interesting comments made. I appreciate all of them, and I welcome people being in touch in the future, because I think it is important to engage backwards and forwards.
Absolutely, and well done to you for doing this with such such focus and integrity for 10 years. Israel's been blamed for attacks against Syria carried out in the early hours of yesterday morning. Anthony, what do we know about these attacks?
Well, again, I mean, it follows a very, very similar pattern to what we've seen in the past. On this occasion, no formal acknowledgement from the Israeli government or from the IDF of involvement in those attacks in Syria. Two main areas attacked. One in the area south of the capital, Damascus. Apparently, some sort of a base, a military installation, which was linked with Iran, was attacked in that particular area. And the second attack was more focused in the Golan area, in the Syrian Golan area. Once again, it seems to have been a missile depot, if we believe the reports, which really come from the Syrian news agency rather than from any news in Israel, reports that military aircraft from the Israeli side of the border in the Golan Heights were responsible for carrying out these attacks. Apparently, at least 8 people were killed in those airstrikes. They are all reported to have been foreign nationals. So whether that means Iranians in Syria, either formally at the behest of the Iranian military security authorities, or whether they're just Iranian-linked militia, is not entirely clear. But what we do know is that Israel operates very, very targeted and very specific intelligence, and one can assume that if certain areas were specifically targeted, then there was a reason for it, either because of what was being carried out there, what was being stored there, or because of the people who might have been operating there who presented some sort of a danger. So again, one of these situations where no formal acknowledgement either way. We have had situations before where Israel has acknowledged their involvement, this time not. But once again, 8 people killed, 2 very focused locations were attacked. I'm guessing that that's all we'll know about it until at least the next time when an attack is carried out.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, it's an ongoing story, and this whole foreign national thing just tells you exactly what's really going on there. Rachadi says, we are loyal. We keep coming back day after day, even when your music choices leave much to be desired. See what I'm saying about honest and
nothing more can be said. Nothing more
exactly.
can be said. That is true loyalty.
Right. That is loyalty. And that is also my point proven. The IDF has been instructed to prepare for a U.S. attack against Iran in the final days of the Trump administration. This is a big story. Is this on the basis of information received from the U.S. administration?
Well, we are told not. We're told two specific things. First of which is that that there isn't any particular information that has been received from the U.S. authorities which has caused the IDF to go into a state of readiness. But we are also told that Defense Minister Benny Gantz has been in close contact with his counterpart, acting U.S. Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller. And the talks do deal with the Iranian issue and the situation in Syria and, of course, other security information that might be relevant between the two ministers of defense, but that there is no specific warning that the U.S. Government has issued letting Israel know that they do intend to carry out an attack. Having said that, there is a general expectation that if the U.S. government does decide to carry out an attack during the final days of the Trump administration, that Israel will be warned ahead of time. It's not clear exactly how much prior warning that means, but there will be prior warning. But obviously, the last thing that the IDF wants to be doing at that moment is to be scrambling in order to make rapid preparations for something which could happen before there's a full state of readiness. So the government has said to the IDF, be ready in any event, because at the moment that we might get a notification from the Trump administration of their intention to attack, we should already have all our ducks in a row and everything in place. So we understand that the IDF has made itself ready. It's not clear what that means, by the way. I think it's probably more about anti-missile systems being deployed than anything else. Because there is an expectation that Iran may choose to fire missiles towards Israel in the event that it feels
threatened.
I think
it would be highly unlikely if it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know whether this threat is real. I'm not sure whether President Trump would really push the button.
Or whether he would tell everybody about it. I mean, I guess maybe he would, Donald Trump. But it's really the worst kept secret in the world, this.
Well, it is in a sense, but you know, it's one of those which might be not such a secret. In other words, it might be a secret that's been let out in order to make clear that actually it's not going to happen. It's kind of a, what they call in Israel, afuch al afuch. It's like a reverse psychology to try and make out like people are being told a secret when in fact the secret is not really accurate anyway and the likelihood of an attack is pretty low, but it causes some level of inconvenience and it causes some level of concern and it represents a threat because, you know, all the time people are wondering whether this is going to be happening or not. I'm not certain that we are honestly going to see an attack on Iran in the coming months. I'm just not sure. I don't know what purpose will serve. I really don't, unless it can be very targeted to honestly take out some major nuclear installation and set the Iranian nuclear program back some years, which may be a welcome development. I don't know. But I'm not quite sure whether that capability exists and whether the plans exist right now. It's going to be interesting to see, but I do certainly feel skeptical about the possibility of such an attack being carried out.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I think the risk is massive. I mean, I think there's a huge risk of what the consequences might be of any, even a light attack, even something that's not too dramatic, any kind of threat against the Iran and its nuclear program, I think, would potentially have major consequences, and I'm not sure whether everybody knows exactly what those consequences could be and whether people are ready for that.
Absolutely. Another story, 30 people were injured in a large apartment building blaze in Jerusalem. What is known about this fire?
I mean, there have been, unfortunately, two major fires in Jerusalem. The 30 people that were injured was the night before last, and then unfortunately last night again, another fire, this time actually killed an individual, a 60-year-old man, died as a result of that blaze last night, which took place in the Kiryat Moshe neighborhood of Jerusalem. Apparently it's a fire that broke out in the storage room of a residential building, and even though there were a number of fire crews that were dispatched to the scene, this man's life unfortunately couldn't be saved. He was found unconscious in the storage room. He had suffered from burns and unfortunately died at the scene. A number of other people had to be treated, but the night before last, there were 30 people that were injured in also a massive blaze that broke out in an apartment building, apparently in the ground floor area of the apartment building, which means not only that storage rooms, which are traditionally located in the ground floor area of apartment buildings, those storage areas were burnt and were damaged, but also cars that were parked nearby in the parking area, which is also downstairs in the apartment building. Apparently cars were also burned, and people were evacuated from adjoining apartment buildings because there was apparently a great deal of smoke, and people were at risk just from smoke inhalation. There were reports of people jumping from balconies due to smoke having filled their apartments. Now that we've got to the winter time, of course, people will be using heating, and the heating presents a massive risk because people don't necessarily treat it very safely. And there's been a program now to try to encourage more and more people to install smoke alarms in their homes, because if people will go to sleep with the heaters on, and those heaters may then cause a fire within the apartment. It could be extremely dangerous, and smoke alarms could certainly save lives. So smoke alarms are really, really important, and they're very cheap and easy to install, but they can be very effective indeed. So smoke alarms, I think, are part of the answer. But also people need to just be very, very cautious. As I said earlier, I'm in Jerusalem at the moment. It is cold here, 10, 11 degrees, and there's no doubt that people will need heating in order to get through the winter time. And so these kind of fires, unfortunately, have a certain inevitability about them. But people just need to be safe.
Absolutely right. This story I found quite amazing. A team from Tel Aviv University has won a gold medal in the Genetic Engineering World Championships. I had no idea that this was even a sport.
I had no idea that this took place at all. It's one of those stories that just captured my attention and my imagination because I've just never heard about it before. And when I read all about what goes on at the Genetic Engineering World Championship, I can't say that I really understood much of it. But apparently this is something that's organized by the International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition, which even has an acronym to go with it, iGEM. And the Israeli students from Tel Aviv University took home the top prize in synthetic biology. 12 students from a variety of faculties around Tel Aviv University took place in this against another 256 universities, amongst them including Harvard, MIT, Cornell, and Stanford. So some of the big Ivy League schools in America also participating, and the Israeli team managed to come out on top. This is an event that is usually held in Boston, which of course is a very central location for some of those Ivy League universities. But of course this year, because of our situation, was held online, was a Zoom event. I can't pretend to understand exactly what went on at this competition, Howard, but apparently teams were required to form an original concept relating to genetic engineering and to implement it as if it was a viable startup. This sounds like it's a competition that was built for Israeli students, because that's exactly what happens in the startup nation in Israel, and also, of course, filters down to the universities, many of whom come up with these ideas through the research that they do and through the education that they do, and many of them turn them into real-life economic models that that are viable businesses and privatize those businesses out. So universities are certainly involved in that whole area of startup ventures and pushing them out into the public. Apparently the field has a number of different applications, including agri-tech, green energy, pharmaceuticals, and many others. So that's about as much as I could really tell you about this competition, other than the fact that, of course, our students came home with a gold medal. So well done to the team captain, whose name is Karin Sionov, and the team was led by Professor Tamir Tula. And I think it's fascinating that, first of all, there are such competitions and that the Israeli students do so well.
Absolutely. Really, really incredible. And well done to them. Anthony Reich, this is where we love and leave you. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay dry and warm and healthy. And, of course, we'll catch you on Monday morning. Have a Shabbat Shalom. Speak to you then. It is 8 o'clock.